This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Iran deal of 2015, the lengthy conversations by the Biden administration through intermediaries in Vienna with the Islamic Republic of Iran to reawaken the U.S. participation in an agreement that right now is non-transparent. However, the non-transparency is complicated in these last hours and days by the remarks of the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. To help me understand this diplomatic tangle, I welcome Anthony Ruggiero of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who served in government during these long years of first the deal, then the non-deal, then the withdrawing, then maximum pressure. So his vantage is very helpful here. I begin with a remark by the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Menendez of New Jersey, responding to the Lavrov remarks in, and also at the same time, Victoria Nuland of the State Department testifying before his committee about the confusion. Senator Menendez said, in these last days, I am specifically concerned that returning to the JCPOA will benefit Russia economically at a time when the international community is committed to squeezing Moscow. Anthony, a very good evening to you. The senator is concerned, but we need to understand what it is that Russia wants and what that ambition has done to what was presented as a deal that was almost signed. Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thanks for having me. Yeah, there's the confusion at the last moment. You know, we're sort of in these final stages. I think we've been in the final stages of the deal negotiation for some time. You know, as I look at it, you can break it down in terms of the Russian request into, you know, maybe good news, bad news, right? The good news is potentially the Russians are doing this because they're either hurt by the current sanctions on the Ukraine crisis, or they're worried about how the coalition with the Europeans and the Biden administration, that there's more to come. Maybe they're worried about that and they're looking for a carve out. That's the good news, because then the sanctions might be working or have the potential to work on the Ukraine side, but not so much on the Iran deal. The bad news, of course, is that, the other side of that is the bad news is that the Russians may be just looking for, a way to get a carve out or undermine the Ukraine sanctions through the Iran deal. The Russians play a crucial role when it comes to the nuclear side of the potential deal. So their inclusion in the deal is likely going to be necessary unless the other deal participants can find another way around that.
My understanding at this point is that the Russians have been useful in moving the conversation these last weeks and months and have lent a hand, so much so that the question was, why does Russia want this to happen, given that it's possibly makes a nuclear power out of one of its client states, Iran? So let's look at what the deal says before Lavrov spoke, what the deal says that would solve the tangle with our allies and with the United States. As I understand it, Iran wants promises that there will never be another moment when the deal is broken by a subsequent administration. Is that correct? They want that in the deal.
That's my understanding from the reports, but that's a guarantee there's only one way to get that guarantee, and that's to have it passed as a treaty or passed some way through a bipartisan Senate. I mean, that's what we required. We have a 50-50 Senate. In order to get to 60, an agreement would have to, by necessity, be bipartisan. That is the only way. I mean, the president cannot make any kind of commitment for the next administration. And to your point about the Russians being useful, I guess it depends on your definition of the term useful, right? If you want to get back in the deal, a lesser, weaker expiring deal, then the Russians have provided that carve out. However, it's not clear to me that Russian interests actually align with America's interests. And so, if we're using him as a carve out, the Russian delegate, then we're likely getting a deal that is not in our interests.
In addition, This is speculation, but the speculation has been consistent for weeks. In the deal that is not signed, that is not agreed to, the U.S. rejoining the JCPOA, sanctions are lifted, and I believe there is money changing hands. Can we confirm that's in the deal, Anthony?
Well, as you said, we haven't seen it, but there'll be two aspects of that, the monetary benefit for Iran. There's frozen money from money that is frozen in accounts from the previous sanctions regime, what was previously termed maximum pressure or some version thereof. And then, of course, the relief of sanctions benefits, where they'll be able to make additional money as the deal moves forward. As, for example, on oil, they won't have to sell the oil, in secret. They can do it in public because it won't be prohibited anymore. And there'll be other aspects like that.
My understanding also for what's in it for Russia, and here's a puzzle. Has Russia an opportunity here to use Iran as a conduit to sell its oil and avoid sanctions? I'm trying to think out loud why Russia's suddenly put a stop to what would have been a diplomatic triumph.
Right. I think that's the big question. Do the Russians feel the squeeze and that they potentially see Iran as that carve out? But, they could have just done that and let the deal go forward. The Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and the North Koreans are expert at avoiding our sanctions regime. In that regard, it would be more a question for the Biden administration whether they were willing to expend the capital when they have a deal with Iran to sort of stop the Russians from using that as a carve out to avoid the Ukraine sanctions regime.
Well, we cannot solve the Kremlin. Okay, Churchill has that great remark about an enigma. So we leave it aside. What does this potential deal, and all we have is speculation, but it was supposed to be imminent. What does this mean for our Gulf partners? Is this bad news for them, given the now global need for more oil coming out of the Gulf?
That's right. I think, our Gulf partners look at, when you look at a country like the UAE, they agreed with the United States several years ago, no enrichment, no reprocessing. They're a partner of the United States. And then they look at the fact that we're going to do a deal with Iran that gives Iran, basically locks in Iran's enrichment program. So right there, I think the UAE is going to start to ask those questions. Saudi Arabia is another question. Certainly Saudi Arabia is looking to expand their nuclear program. The Saudi crown prince has said a couple of years ago that whatever Iran gets, they want to get. So I think, and it's not just in that region, it's globally, we start to see Iran's going to be on a pathway to a threshold nuclear state where they'll be able to choose when they want to move toward nuclear weapons. And there will be many other countries that will want to go down the same path, many of whom are American allies. And so that's going to be something the Biden administration and future administrations are going to have to deal with.
Finally, there is a cynical observation that the Biden administration sees this deal as potentially freeing up more oil to relieve the price of oil worldwide. Is there something to that, Anthony? We have about 30 seconds.
Striking a deal with Venezuela and Iran is no better than, trying to figure out a way to take Russia's oil off the market. I think two wrongs don't make a right, right, as they say. And those would both be certainly wrong. They should find another way.
Anthony Ruggiero of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, helping me understand a little bit that it's okay not to understand Russia's late entry into slowing down the pending JCPOA reawakening. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.